Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome into the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us anytime online at stevejonesshow.com. Subscribe to our podcast on both iTunes and Google Play. You can also go to the podcast archive at stevejonesshow.com. Got 3 months of shows there. In case you miss any of them, you can hit the rewind button and check out some of the great interviews we've had on over the past few months, including those well-listened-to interviews with Steve and Spider Caldwell at Penn State. Sean Carey here. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can also follow us on social media. Give us a like on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, our Twitter handle, at Steve Jones PSU. And you can always drop us a message anytime. Our email is stevejones at wkok.com.
Sounds on the surface impressive, but you and I know better. How are you, my friend?
Excellent. Heading downhill to the weekend. Juice is flowing. You got a big weekend. Watching the World Series last night. Boy, Fox is really... They're calling this weekend the greatest weekend ever.
Well, it's part of the hype machine.
So it sure is. They were hyping. That was some hard hype going on last night. But then again, they had a short time frame since the game only lasted 2 hours and 28 minutes. What a brisk, refreshing change of pace.
Suddenly I look around, I'm like, it's 10:30. Game's over.
People in LA, could keep their 8 o'clock dinner plans last night.
And believe me, World Series or not, they would have. It's the way the L.A. Dodger fans are.
Roll out there.
And leave a little bit. They're usually about five-inning fans. They're there in the third, they're gone by the eighth. Last night, they stayed around a little longer.
I stayed around a little longer here in the building last night to catch up on some loose ends and get home and have dinner. I go in the living room. It's like, holy crap, they're in the bottom of the fourth inning already. It's like, okay, just motoring right along. You're not going to hear me rip about Clayton Kershaw and his, postseason faux pas anymore. I think he put that to bed last night.
That's all done.
Done.
He was brilliant. Keuchel pitched very well. Kershaw was brilliant. Great game by Kershaw last night. I'm happy for him. You don't want to have that hanging over your doggone head. You're not a guy that gets it done when the money's on the line. You don't want
that low pitch count last night. He could easily come back around and lock it up next week.
Yeah, he could. He could. So, hey, look. 1-7 at a time. We got Verlander and Rich Hill tonight. Game 2. 8:09 Eastern Time. First pitch tonight. On Fox. Okay, so what's our... Just give me just a quick idea. What is our game plan here tonight?
All right, definitely 3:35. We have Philadelphia Eagles insider Dave Spadaro. He'll be checking in, and I'll get his take on Monday night's impressive performance over Washington. And next up for the Eagles will be San Francisco on Eagle 107 coming up at 1 on Sunday.
Then Paul Keels will be joining us at 4:06 today, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football. And Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch in the final half hour. Now that's a show. There you go. That's what we have on the lineup for today. So where are you going to watch the game on Saturday?
I will be at home. I'll be in the living room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll get home late Friday night after midnight, early Saturday morning after finishing up game night. May sleep in a little bit, take care of some stuff around the house. I still have the air conditioners in the windows and get them out. Probably put the storm windows in on the enclosed porch. Get all that done before game time. It's probably going to be probably on my radar.
I haven't received permission yet to take it out. Okay, I need permission because I'd have taken that thing out a month ago.
The better half told me to do that last month right after Labor Day. She's like, isn't about time to get them out of the windows? And it's like, I said, Indian summer, hello.
Well, mine's the other way around. I mean, I'm going to have that conversation this evening. As a matter of fact.
No, Kathy, it's my fault. I tell her I'm the one that brought it up in the show.
Well, she's talking to me yesterday about buying a little wood burner for the family room. Because you've been to my house a few times.
Mm-hmm.
It's set up, and I got the fireplace and So I brought up something about, we need to order more wood. And she says, well, we talked about the wood burner, and I thought that we didn't do it because of Megan getting married. And I said, no. I said we didn't do it because it got warmer and I forgot about it. I said, if I don't need it, I'm not thinking about it.
It's all about supply and demand. Right now, it's not in demand.
Right. So today it was about 32 degrees around here when I woke up, and it kind of spurred thoughts of, hey, what about that wood burner idea we had last year? Well, the little wood burner came up. Okay. I thought you forgot about it. I said, yeah, I forgot about it because it got warmer. I'm looking around. I don't need to use that. I've been cutting lawns and things like that and playing golf, getting ready for games and, things like that. I said, so it didn't quite make the cut in terms of my thought process. Getting you a chauffeur to bring you down from Lock Haven for the wedding, things like that, because I wanted to take good care of you.
Laundry list, and you did.
So.
Now, speaking of golf, you'll get a kick out of this. I was exchanging messages with Greg Wetzel this morning, getting his take on the battle for the Little Brown Jug on Friday night, Lewisburg-Mifflinburg on 100.9 The Valley. And I said, stop in about 2:30. And he texts me back. He goes, oh, great, I'll be able to get in 18 holes today.
There you go.
I go, hit him long and straight.
Good. Where's he playing?
I should have asked him that. I don't think he was at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. I did see some pairs and foursomes out there because I was there for lunch today. But right. I should have sent him a text. I said, where are you playing? Because I wasn't sure if it was there or Turbot Hills.
Right. Well, you can still get out there and play. I mean, I played 18 holes. Played 18 holes middle of last week in the morning. Right? Got out there like, okay. All right. Then I got 9 holes in Sunday before practice. So just enough to kind of get out there and
Not get
lose
rusty.
Anything.
That's right, yep.
Not lose anything. Yeah. All right, so here it is. It's Wednesday. We'll get the Ohio State perspective today from Paul Keels and Bill Rubinowitz. We'll have Dave Spadaro on. We'll talk about what might be, at least at this hour, the best team in the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles. It's amazing. Everybody has jumped on the bandwagon about the Eagles because they finally got in prime time to play a game, so everybody had a chance to watch them. They had a good long look at Carson Wentz, and you can't help but be impressed. This is a very exciting, interesting time for Eagles fans. Very exciting for them, just like it's been an exciting, interesting time for Penn State fans. This is one of those moments in time, man, where people are in this state are pretty excited about football. between the Steelers getting hot, the Eagles who have stayed hot, and Penn State, which has played great. And then tomorrow we'll have our high school roundtable. So we'll do that tomorrow. And we'll go from there. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is putting other import brands on high alert with their drastic new Hyundai reductions. While other dealers have 2017 accents for $17,140, Sunbury Motors Hyundai has accents starting at $12,890. Compare a Toyota Camry with a 2017 Sonata for $18,965.
And you decide which is the better value.
All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors has 13 Hyundai Tucson's starting at $23,143. Save up to $49.49 on a 2017 Hyundai Santa Fe Sport. Santa Fe Sport start at $25,766. If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Brand new Elantras start at $16,680. With these prices, Sunbury Motors Hyundai is putting other import brands on high alert. SMC Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Access Sedan and Santa Fe models with SMC loaner vehicles.
I had to laugh about the last commercial we played about the holidays being crazy. I'm trying to do everything I can around here to make that part peaceful. I said, look, we'll cater, we'll order out. Sean, you should come over. We're going to cater.
Love it. I'll bring the pickles.
Yeah, you know, get Deb, have a good time.
We'll love it.
Be great, you know. We'll invite the suit, and then we'll just tell the stories right to his face. All right, so you probably, based on your schedule, could not get to Maddie's today.
Nah, unfortunately, our engagement we had at lunch today, they crossed, unfortunately, but we'll get back there next week.
Well, no, but you said that you probably would not have a chance to go.
Right.
I was wondering if maybe the color analyst had a chance to stop by.
No.
No.
Nope, he was with me.
So in other words, what you're saying is that Coach Susan talks to me more than his own color analyst.
Not really sure. There could be other times where the color analyst could be out of the building. He could be reaching out to Coach and doing some preparations from his home. I'm not really sure.
Let's be realistic here. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? He sees him on Saturday, waves. Hey, how are you? You know, 5 minutes. Have a good week. Oh, yeah, great week.
5 minutes. I was thinking more like 90 seconds. Yeah. Joe's got somewhere to get to. The locker room.
Well, they've got Colgate this week. That'll be a good matchup for them. It's on Eagle 107. 1 o'clock will be the kickoff, 12:30 the airtime. I think that's what I've got here for Saturday up in Hamilton. Does that look right to you?
Yes, 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock kick, and then they'll be back home for homecoming next week. That's the deal with Dominic Bragalone and Lehigh. That'll be a noon kick at Christie next Saturday.
You know what? Let's get Doug on next week. At some point.
We will.
Let's do that. It's homecoming, whatever.
Yep.
Hopefully Doug's got some time to do it. He does so many different sports. Let's get Doug on next week at some point. We'll have Joe Susan on Monday like we always do. But it'll be good to get Doug on. Just maybe get a couple basketball nuggets thrown in there, too. Because Nathan Davis's team is about to get ready to crank up as well in like just about 2.5 weeks. So we'll get a little bit from Doug.
Their opener will be the same day as Penn State's on Friday, November the 10th.
Yeah. And that game, which we'll have on WKOK, will be a 4 o'clock start, 3:30 airtime. So, I mean, no show for us that day because of hoops. And it's that time of the year. I was talking to Ross Condon today, and he said, what's your schedule like in November? I said, I've got 12 games. Between the 4th and the 29th. I said, 8 basketball, 4 footballs. I said, and no misses in there, which is great. I enjoy that part very much. No misses. Game 2 of the World Series is tonight. That is 8:09 this evening will be the first game. Not as hot as last night. How could it be? It was 103 last night for the first pitch. That's unbelievable. 103 degrees. The hottest game I ever did, but the difference was it was July and not October. October, it's unexpected, so it's a shock to the system. Hottest game I ever did was 102. 102. I ever tell you the story about going to Auburn?
I have not heard that one.
It's my first year doing the State College Spikes. It was 2006. Spikes play a three-game series at Auburn, New York, and Auburn, New York is about 20 miles west of Syracuse off the New York Thruway. So I get in there, first game of the series. It is 98 degrees. I've got a golf shirt on, long pants. And, of course, you know, this is Auburn, New York. There's no air conditioning in this booth. They've got a fan, but they have the door open because they want the air. Well, the sun is coming through the door, and it's on me. I feel like I'm in a roasting pan, but I get the game done. We're done. So the next morning I get up and I go over to the Finger Lakes Mall and I buy a pair of shorts. I feel like I'm going to wear shorts tonight. I've never worn shorts on the air, ever. I've never worn shorts on the air. So I go down to do the pregame show with the manager, Mark Dijon, the former bullpen coach for Tony La Russa. And I said, hey, DJ, he says, hey, Steve, he says, just so you know, he says, the Cardinals have a rule about hey, no shorts on the field, which, by the way, the rule has since changed, just so you know. And he said, a rule about no shorts on the field. I said, well, DJ, I said, the second the St. Louis Cardinals send me a check is the second I abide by the no shorts rule. I said, the Cardinals don't send me any checks. We're not doing that. I said, I'm roasting up there. He started laughing. He says, that's a really good point. Oh. The Cardinals, by the way, have changed this. Now, if you go to batting practice or in the middle of the day and they're warming up, whatever they do, I have shorts on. They've changed the rule since. All right. Dave Spadaro will be in the next half hour, the Eagles Insider. We'll get some insight about how the Eagles want to handle no Jason Peters moving forward. And then preview the next one, which will be against the 49ers, and the fact that the Eagles have a lot of home games coming up because they played four of the first six on the road this season. And right now, through seven games, they stand at 6-1 on the year. Then we'll talk with Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football at 4:06, and Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch in the final half hour today. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. Well, right now, if you'd have to ask who is the best team in the National Football League with seven games under their belts, probably the Philadelphia Eagles, who are 6-1. Dave Spadaro, Eagles insider, joins us. Dave, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show.
Steve, thank you. Good to be back. Yeah, quite a start to the season, huh? Pretty shocking.
It's been tremendous to see what they've done in a short period of time, and there's no doubt who the trigger guy is. I think they're right now most of the teams in the NFL. If you ask them, would you like to have Carson Wentz as your quarterback, they would say yes. Dave, what have you seen in the maturity of his game, in which it's only its second season in the NFL?
Honestly, Steve, a lot that we saw from the very start. I mean, he's just extremely poised. He has a great intelligence for the game. He understands his place. You know, he really just handles every situation very, very well. He's really extraordinary. I mean, to come in here and do what he did as a rookie was one thing, and then to take that huge leap in year two, which he's clearly done, with certainly the help of cast of characters and talent and skill positions that are much improved over last year. I mean, it's really been remarkable to see. Now, I thought that he had a chance to be something special. I think everybody did here, obviously, and he's been every bit of that this year. It's a great start to the season, and look, I mean, he is the real deal, and what we're watching is a player who has a chance to be a real all-time great quarterback.
Alshon Jeffrey, I thought the other night looked pretty good. But well, I got to ask you about Aguilar, because he's the guy that has been,
right?
At least to me, somewhat of an X factor in all of this, Dave.
Yeah.
Why has he been better?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Carson makes everybody better. And I think everybody around him, and having Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith, legitimate threats, have helped Zach Ertz become the best tight end in the league. Have helped Nelson Agholor take the pressure, the spotlight off of Nelson Agholor. Let him just go out and play football. Now he's a red zone beast and big play beast. The fact that they've got a running game that's legitimate helps everyone. I mean, look, they're going to be challenged now here without Jason Peters.
Right.
And we'll see how it goes on the left side. I think there's a lot of confidence in Halapulavati Vaitai, but we don't know yet. So it's really kind of hand in hand. The way the Eagles have built around, and it's only the first step, building around Carson, combined with his development at such a rapid rate. In a way, Steve, they're a year ahead of schedule, kind of where we thought Carson would be, and then where we thought the team would be. A lot can happen between now and then. At the end of the season, we know that. I mean, they're coming into this game minus two starters from last week, but to this point, they are ahead of where everybody thought they'd be.
You mentioned my next question was going to be about Jason Peters and how do you replace him. You mentioned Vaitai. Give us a read on him. And if they lose another one up front, Dave, how much juggling would have to be done to survive it?
Yeah, so Vaitai has played a lot, played in six games last year, played in quite a few snaps this year already, so he's seasoned enough where they do expect him to go in and function at a high level. Doesn't have the nasty of Jason Peters, certainly doesn't have the resume of Jason Peters, but a good player, should be fine. I believe they'll keep him at left tackle. That's just my thinking. I think they want to keep Lane Johnson at that high level at right tackle with some very good pass rushers coming in who line up on that side. But Vaitai doesn't have that nastiness and is not the run blocker that Jason Peters is. But he should be okay. He should be okay. And then the Eagles will have to adjust around him. If they lose anybody else, I mean, they're in a lot of trouble. I would think Isaac Seumalo, second-year player, played some tackle last year, can play tackle or guard. Chance Warmack is also still here. He can play both guard positions. There's still some versatility left, but let's be honest, if another one goes down, then the Eagles, like every other team in the league, in a heap of trouble.
Defensively, their ability, led by Fletcher Cox, to get pressure with four, what has that done to allow Jim Schwartz to have options defensively?
Yeah, they've had to do that with Ronald Darby being out, with some injuries, now Jordan Hicks out. They have to dominate up front, and with Fletcher and with Jernigan, that twosome, you watch them, they're really good together. They really play off each other well. They run at you with four or five different defensive ends, Brandon Graham and Curry and Barnett and Long, and when he dresses, Stephen Means. So they have to dominate up front to cover that back end, and they'll get Darby back here in the next couple of weeks, and who knows, maybe at some point they take a look at Sidney Jones. We'll see, but it has certainly given Jim, and listen, the defense hasn't been great. They've given up yards. They've given up points. They've taken the football away. They've come up with stops when they've needed to. They've reached the quarterback, which has been essential. So if they can continue to play up front as they've played, it will cover up for a lot of the challenges on the back end.
What's interesting, sometimes along the way you've got to win a game in a certain way that just changes the dynamic of a team. Was the Giants game that game?
Probably, yeah. And that, yes, I would say so. It was such a remarkable game. And then it also, look, it launched Jake Elliott into this red-hot kicker, right? I mean,
he's a folk hero.
The Eagles have a guy from 55 and in, has more than enough leg, and they have more than enough confidence in allowing him to give it a shot. And it was such a weird game. Eagles take the lead. Everybody's juiced up. They fall behind. They come back at the end, tie game. Jake Elliott wins it in this remarkable fashion. So, you know, it's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, that game, I think it just built a lot of confidence. And I've always found the teams that play with a lot of confidence are going to win because the talent is so dispersed equally. And that was the first game, we kind of lose this, that Carson Wentz won with a final drive in the fourth quarter in his NFL career. So it didn't not only launched Jake, I think it took Carson to that next level.
Well, here's the other part too, Dave, is that you look at the schedule. Now, there were seven games in now, but four of the first six were on the road. The Eagles have not been feasting at home. They haven't been at home.
Yeah, and now this week's game against the winless team is at home. Next week it's Denver coming off. They will have, this will be their third road game, I believe, for Denver. So if somehow the Eagles can come out of this with two wins, 8-1 going into a bye week, on the road then at Dallas on a Sunday night game, and really would put the team in great position. So, I mean, the challenge that Doug Peterson's got right now is making sure that his players do not believe what they're hearing, do not believe if they're reading, do not believe all the hype about how good the team is, because they still have a lot of flaws. And the truth is, for Eagles fans who are listening, 6-1 is great and everything, but let's be honest, the only thing that matters is winning a Super Bowl. So they're a long, long way away from that.
But I want to talk about trying to control the noise. In the old days, and let's go back 20 years, 30 years, you could control it in a way where, okay, Dave Spadaro, star running back, I don't have to bring him out to the weekly press conference, right? I can bring somebody else out instead.
Yeah.
You and I both know with Facebook,
Twitter, can't hide anything. Yeah.
Instagram, you can't hide any of that stuff. So how do you? How does one control it?
I don't know.
Do you control it through routine? How do you do it?
I don't know. I think you just hope that the leaders of the team, the message that they have, filters down. I think you have to keep challenging players in practice. You really can't. It's a fine line, Steve. Because let's, for example, Doug gave the players the morning off. They got to sleep in today, and I can tell you that Monday Night Football stinks. Like at every level. Like you wait around all day, then there's the game.
Oh,
then
yeah.
you play late in the evening. Everybody works for hours after the game. You're exhausted the next day. And then you come in Wednesday and you got a hangover. You're just beat. So the players got off yesterday. They got to sleep in today. And so you balance that rest with really and making sure that their bodies recover and their minds recover with challenging them at practice. And that happens really on Thursdays. So critical that the Eagles keep that edge. And I think if they keep the edge and they can keep themselves from any more long-term injuries, I think they're as good as anybody that we've seen.
Well, you know what's interesting? You mentioned that. I was talking with Paul Keels, the Ohio State play-by-play broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and I both agree that we are thrilled that the game is not a primetime game on Saturday. Now, I realize primetime means everybody gets a chance to see it, but we're both thrilled the game's at 3:30.
Yeah.
Because all these night games, after a while, as much as it is primetime, and you and I would put our feet up and watch it if we were sitting at home, for the participants in it, whether working on the field or working someplace else, is not exactly the easiest deal going.
No, it's very tough. I mean, look, no complaints, okay? Primetime
right.
means that you're a good football team, but it does
exactly.
physically challenge you, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about that. We're talking about controlling the message. Part of Instagram, part of Facebook, part of Twitter, we're telling these guys the last couple of years they weren't good. So is that an aid in saying, hey, look, they were telling you you're no good before, now they're telling you good. I told you not to listen to them before, don't listen to them now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they should know at this level that you don't listen to the outside noise. And a lot of them do. They come from big-time college football programs. The fandom, fanaticism, media coverage is the same in a lot of those universities, certainly in the SEC, for example, up at Penn State now, obviously, with their success, as it is in the NFL. So you do have to learn to block it out. But for young guys, they go everywhere, and the fans are all over them, telling them how great they are. They do interviews. They're told how great they are. You got to just stay grounded and recognize that it's only seven games. There's a lot of football left. Teams are going to adjust. It gets a lot harder. The tempo is a lot different later in the season. I mean, how many of these players have even experienced? How many of them have even experienced NFL playoffs yet? You know, very few. So we'll see how the quarterback hasn't and the head coach hasn't. So the head coach needs to also be on point each and every day, delivering that message of, hey guys, one day at a time, let's just go 1-0 this week. And that's what Doug is trying to tell his team.
Okay, so then let's take it one step further. Let's take success in a positive light. Success breeds success. Have you seen the Eagles play with a confidence the last couple of weeks because of success?
Oh my gosh, yes. I believe that what we're seeing is, you know, Steve, you know how when players go to New England and they're cast-offs from other teams and they go to New England and all of a sudden they're productive players? You go, how in the world is that happening? Well, my theory is that the quarterback there, Tom Brady, raises everybody's level of play, makes the coaches better, makes everybody better, the cheerleaders better, the mascot better. Everybody's better because of Tom Brady, because he sets the tone with his excellence, and I think that's what's happening with Carson Wentz, because I think that he is an extraordinary, special player in the line, you know, in the not at the trajectory yet of a Reggie White nor Brian Dawkins, but in that path of special superstar player.
All right, final question, Dave, and it deals with the 49ers, which will be the next game. The assumption is, oh, the Eagles are so much better, just show up and win. You and I both know that's not how the National Football League works. So what are, in your opinion, are some things about the 49ers that are dangerous?
Not much. I think in this instance it's the Eagles versus the Eagles, and I think that if you play a great game, you beat the San Francisco 49ers. You know, I don't think if the Eagles played a great game and the Niners played a great game, I don't think the Niners have enough firepower to win. You know, they run the ball a little bit, they've got a little bit of a pass rush. I mean, but they're not a good football team. They don't know how to win yet. They don't have the talent base. They're dangerous because they'll be dangerous if the Eagles allow them to be dangerous. Otherwise, you know, they're just not on the level of the Philadelphia Eagles. So the good teams go out and handle business. The teams that aren't ready to be good, they play down to the level of their competition. Haven't seen that yet from the Eagles, but the Eagles haven't been in the position that they'll be in on Sunday, where they're heavily favored, where they're at home, where everybody thinks it's going to be a roll. Well, you can't just show up and win, but you can go out, show up, play a good game, and you win the game. But the San Francisco 49ers, there's not a lot on that roster that you say they can really shock you if this or this happens. They've got some young talent on defense, but otherwise, you know, they're in a major rebuilding phase.
Dave, absolute pleasure. Appreciate the time you gave us today.
My pleasure, Steve. Anytime. Thank you.
Dave Spadaro, Eagles insider. Always a pleasure to talk with him. Paul Keels, next half hour, play-by-play voice of Ohio State. As we continue, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. And what a great job Doug and Kevin do on the Bucknell Games at Eagle 107. 1 o'clock the kickoff, 12:30 the airtime on Saturday. So that'll be coming up. Looking forward to that this weekend. If you want to listen to that game before you get into Penn State and Ohio State, Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, is coming up in the next half hour. We will talk with the great man himself, the legendary voice of Ohio State football, about the team and how they've played to this point. It's fun to see Penn State in games such as these. It really is. I mean, I think people have ached for to see this happen at this time. You could just sense last year when Penn State won against Ohio State, the release of joy in Beaver State. It was just a release of joy and happiness in that stadium that night. And then it just kept on going. And then Penn State won the Big Ten Championship. You know, they won the Big Ten East Championship. Then they won the Big Ten Championship. They got to the Rose Bowl. And it just continued this season. And now you've got this huge matchup coming up on Saturday. I've had people ask me about the bye week for Ohio State. I said, don't care. I asked about the fact the game's on the road. I said, don't care. I said, don't. The one thing about playing on the road is this. The first 5 minutes, yeah, kind of survive that emotional avalanche early from the crowd in combination with the team. Once you get past that, the next 55 minutes, whomever's better wins. Now, you survive that first 5 minute of emotional avalanche or whatever, which is out there, you know, that next 55 minutes is whomever's better. I'm excited to see whomever's better. It's one thing about games such as these is there's always a lot of conjecture as to what could happen. Because, I mean, look, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do here. You're supposed to sit there and have some thoughts. You know, you should watch for this. What about that? But in reality, nobody knows. Nobody knows until it actually gets here, how it plays out. It's fine.
So during the offseason, we were looking at the three-game stretch, and we're now in the thick of it. Now as we're just heading into game two of that three-game stretch, anything specific last night or tonight looking in practice as to anything you think they need to button up or just, you know, stick with the basics? Or
not really. I mean, I think that they need to go out and bring the same kind of physical presence on both lines like they did last week against Michigan. And play their game. Play their game. I mean, there's so much about, well, Ohio State does this and Ohio State does that. Well, guess what? Penn State does a lot of stuff. Penn State does a lot of stuff. You know, I think there's so much thought process put on the other team all the time, which I understand, that it makes you think that they're the ones dictating the winning and the losing. Well, Ohio State will do certain things that will dictate winning and losing. And guess what? Penn State's going to do certain things that dictate winning and losing. They're two really good teams head-to-head. Okay, let's get it on. See who's better on this particular Saturday. Paul Keel's next half hour, the outstanding, legendary play-by-play voice of Ohio State football and basketball. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.